This episode of Guns Blazing is brought to you by the people at 3Chi. 3Chi is the industry leader in Delta-8 THC products. Delta-8 is a federally legal version of THC and is a more functional alternative to marijuana. It gives you an amazing buzz and a great body feel, but with a clearer head and less anxiety and paranoia. So go to 3Chi.com to shop for Delta-8 edibles like cookies and gummies, or to shop for vapes, tinctures, gummies, and oils that can be used to make your own homemade edibles. Use code GUNS21, G-U-N-S, the numbers 21, at checkout to receive 5% off your order. That's code GUNS21 at checkout to receive 5% off your order. Must be 21 to purchase.
Some years ago, a crack commando comedy unit were given jobs above their pay grade. These men promptly were put on leave and escaped to an underground podcast stockade in an unknown location. Today, still unwanted by big media, they survive as comics of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and you can find them, you can listen to Guns Blazing.
Air travel has gone to shit. Post-COVID, air travel is complete dog shit. I was supposed to fly back from Phoenix, Arizona at 9 in the morning. Flight gets canceled. I leave, I don't know, like 6 in the evening to get home. That's one thing. It happens all the time. Now they canceled 5,000 flights in 7 days on American Airlines. I get it. There's a problem. Can't staff shit after COVID. Okay. Well, don't put the flights up there to book, first of all. If you know you can't staff it, you don't have enough people, don't fucking put the flights up there for me to book. Plan my fucking schedule around and then cancel the fuck out of flights, like half your flights, and push them back. Now, also, I will say this. American Airlines, more comfortable than other airlines. Seats a little wider, it feels like. They got the little things in the back of the headrest in front of you that you can put your phone up there and lock it down, watch your movie, whatever. But I got stuck from where I was, which was an aisle seat, middle of the plane, like to be on top of the wings, right? To the very last seat aisle right next to the shitter. So the shitter is to my left. I can reach with my left hand, open the door to the shitter for people if I want. So every person's got to come piss or shit.
I smell that seat.
Yeah, every person's got a piss or shit comes through. And for some reason, they feel the need to put their hand over the armrest as they go to the shitter and as they leave the shitter. So you're coming out of the shitter. I know you've been touching your dick or whatever. And
pubes, then, minimum pubes.
And then you're taking that fucking hand and you're reaching over my armrest right in front of me. And you, four of your fingers touch my screen. Every single person stops my movie. Pauses it. One person fucking closed it out by grabbing it. And you got pissy fingers all over the screen now. And the person in front of me, this dude, bigger dude, not built for flying, right? And this guy had some kind of viral infection or something going on in his gut. He had bubble guts. So he would leave his seat in a panic at least 6 times during this flight from Phoenix to my connect in Chicago. And every time he would get up, because he was going to have to fucking go in there and water ass, he would post his right arm up on the seat, lean all his 300-pound body weight into the seat, pushing the back of his seat into my face. Like, literally, I'd have to lean back. Like, that's how much movement there was in that seat. And then he would shift it to the left hand to push off of to be able to go upright into the aisle to walk 3 steps to the shitter. Now, when he was in the shitter, nightmare for this guy. I felt bad. That's why I didn't bitch about him pushing his seat into my face, because he's got to ride 4 hours with bubble guts, water ass. He's in there dying.
Can't fit either. He's not fitting.
He's probably just wedged in there about 3 feet. His asshole's 3 feet above that shitter hole. And just... Oh, you can hear him.
Noises?
Oh, yeah. You can hear it through half of the plane. People are dying laughing, like covering their face. And then I'm like, yeah, but we have to fucking smell this every time he opens up the door. I mean, just gas, water ass, that smell, that stench, just permeating throughout the plane the entire flight. Six times, Sean, in 4 hours, this guy had to go in there and gurgle through his asshole.
Damn.
I am done flying for a while.
That might be the worst backseat story I've ever heard.
Thank God for the masks at that point. Wow. Like, I was happy to keep my mask on that entire flight. I mean, I had to smell this guy's intestines the entire flight.
And all those piss mitts. Oh, poor buddy. Man.
Piss mitts. How does every person, every single person, reach up to poke? Can you not fucking walk? There wasn't turbulence. It was fine. But they had to steady themselves by grabbing my seat and fucking putting their paws all over my fucking phone, which was locked in the little phone holder on the back of the seat.
I do the 45-degree shoulder walk. I suck my gut in. I suck it in. Okay. My upper body, at least, is kind of at a 45.
Mm-hmm.
Like left shoulder. I'm always the left shoulder out front guy because that's my good eye side.
You're bladed.
So I can't put my lazy eye side ahead of me. Because then things aren't going to go well. So I do the left shoulder.
Right.
And then I 45 walk it. Even if I had the room, I still have this like anxiety and I want to be touching a bunch of people and shit when I'm walking by them.
It wants to be bumping a bunch of people.
Because people bump people. A lot of people walk through the plane.
Jesus, they do.
Like they feel like they should be able to walk like they're in their living room.
They don't get it. Have you not been on a plane?
Of the mentality, I think, is that some people get it. Like, listen, I don't have to play this. I bought a ticket. I need room to walk, right? Like, I understand what the operation is. I see where we're at. I see what we're up to. I know that, look, if I wanted to be a prick that would try to fight the good fight that never went nowhere, I could sit there and put my shoulders out and walk right through like I'm down fucking 9th Street back home, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But what you're supposed to do is take your shoulders a little bit, maybe cock them in. Just the one shoulder up a little, the other one back, and fucking just kind of just walk it on through, man. You know what I mean? If it's empty, yeah, maybe I won't do it as much. But when I see people, like I've been in the aisle. I've been woken up. I've been slammed with the fucking carts. I've been smacked in the head with bags. I've yelled at people. I've told people, you're the most important, bro. Whenever they try to pull the move or they try to come from the back of the plane ahead of you. That's my favorite when they run ahead and I go, hey buddy, no, you know what, guys, look out, this guy's the most important. You're the most important, man.
Yeah, I've you're the only one that matters in this entire plane.
Oh, bro, it's my favorite thing now, dude, because nobody will say nothing back because they're everybody else looking at him like, oh yeah, you are the most important, huh, asshole.
If you want to learn how to walk down an aisle on an airplane, just do this at home. Practice. Get a ball in your hand.
Get a ball.
Turn as if you're about to throw it to first base.
Yeah, yeah.
And as you turn, as you feel your body turn and lock right before you bring your arm back to throw, that's the position you walk. Your non-throwing hand shoulder is going to be forward, and you're going to be bladed at a 45-degree angle.
Bladed.
And you're going to walk just like that the entire aisle. That's all you got to do.
Remember.
It's the club walk. It's the same walk you use in a crowded club at night.
Club
when you're there
walk.
And you're going to the bar and you got to walk in between this horde of people in order to order your cocktail. It's the same walk. Use the club walk on the plane. That is now your plane walk.
Also, guy that has bag on one shoulder, you of all people better do the fucking club walk, man.
Come on.
Can't walk down the thing with the bag on your shoulder banging everybody that you walk by because you think, you bought a ticket. You deserved a space. Too bad. The space ain't there. And it ain't our fault. We bought tickets too, fuckface. Either hold the bag in front of you, tuck the bag up under the arm. Once you get in the aisle, go full two-arm pack or just carry it like a fucking, like a bag of lunch.
That's all you had to do. If you have a backpack, you leave it two straps flat on your back until you get to your seat so you can turn and get it off your shoulders and under your seat. And then if you got a carry-on to go up in storage, then you bring it to the front and you just hold it in the front of your body. And you let it guide the way. You don't leave it hanging off to the side. You already know there's not enough room for you to walk face forward for most of us without bumping people. Now you're going to put like a second person with that bag.
Big
to
recap
your left
here,
hip
though.
Or right hip.
I want to make sure that we recap. Like Todd said, remember, it makes like you're getting a ground ball. You pull up the ball like you're going to first with it, shoulders angle. Now that part, stop right there. Drop the imaginary glove and ball. Let your arms fall to your side and take a fucking walk up the aisle.
I mean, what are we doing here? It's not the first day on the planet, people.
No, we know what it is. It's these fucks that feel that I bought a ticket, I deserve space, and I will do as I please, no matter, even though it makes, we all bought the same tickets and we're all dealing with such small, shitty settings, but I am the most important one. I will go to the back, and then when the plane lands, I will run to the front past three aisles. I will go from aisle 34 to aisle 31. I will save 6 seconds and piss off 12 people.
It's just gone to shit. People forget how to do things. Now it's like, we erased your fucking memory of how to behave in public and in crowded situations. And the airlines, beyond this failure to staff and having to reschedule flights all the time, people are missing their connections like crazy. Like my lady just missed her connection last night. Maintenance issue, something on the wing hanging down, something broken.
The old maintenance issue gets them every time.
Got a maintenance issue.
The next time, I'm going to start remembering my parking space like it's a fucking neighborhood. Okay? So here's what I'm going to do. Next time a guy comes, tries to do the old bolt move, and I could see the people in the back that was like, oh, this guy's going to make a run for it. So if I'm in the, that's why I always want to be on the outside. So I can be like, I could jump up in front of him and block him.
Right.
I'll jump up in front of him. What are you going to do? For you? And then I'll go like this. My next move is this. Here's my next move. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to let him know. Hey, my man, you're the most important there, buddy. I go, hey, everybody let this guy through. He's the most important. And then if he says something back, I'm going to be like, B7, kid. Floor 2, my man. Let's not get the FFA involved, okay? Or the F. Let's not. We don't want the future farmers of America involved, but we also don't want the FAA involved.
Are there still Sky Marshals? I mean,
I don't know. I'm just saying that we'll call the police. Next thing you know, if I square up on this kid, even though he's in the wrong, if I just drop my parking space, Terminal 2, buddy, Floor 2, fucking C19, kid, come see me, C19, Terminal 2, bro.
I'm just saying the way they're running shit nowadays, there can't be Sky Marshals anymore. There's no way. It's too fucked up.
Or they're on all the wrong flights.
Yeah. And if you are a Sky Marshal and you're on a flight and you see, hey, don't just worry about terrorism. That's never going to happen. Yeah. Probably. In your whole career, you're probably never going to see that. You're never going to be on a hijacked airliner. Yeah. So let's start enforcing some of the etiquette.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have Sky Marshals that just enforce etiquette. You see somebody walking straight forward that weighs about 250 pounds and they throw their bag on their hip and they walk through just smashing into people all the way down. And they're sitting three quarters of the way back on the rear of the plane and they're just crashing, boom, 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 just fucking killing people. Step up, tase that motherfucker. Right. Boom. That should be a tase situation. Drop him to the floor, carry his fucking unconscious body off the plane, put him in a body bag, and then tag that body bag, put it under the plane, and then whoever's traveling with him can pick him up at the connecting flight.
I got a possible thought here. What if you're from Marshall, the city of Marshall?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Your mother named you Marshall.
Yes.
Okay. You go to Marshall, the university. Mm-hmm. This is all by coincidence.
Mm.
Obviously, you go there for criminal justice. You become, next thing you know, you work. You're an air marshal.
Mm.
Okay. You're on a city run. You have to stop in. You had a problem. You lost your luggage, right? So you got to go to the store to get new clothes. Only thing close is a Marshall's.
Mm.
Okay. Then you get in there. The guy at the counter, ironically as fuck, his name's Marshall.
Mm.
I mean, that's wild. That could be done. Then this guy's sitting here staring. Now, if you're this guy, you're like, that has to be the full fucking matrix. Yeah, it has to be something, right? You're like, I am from Marshall. My name's Marshall's. I went to Marshall's. I'm an air marshal, and I'm at a Marshall's being checked out by a guy named Marshall.
Mm.
God damn it. That had to have been done. That's got to be, at some point, might have been a possibility.
I mean, if your last name isn't Marshall and you don't become some type of Marshall, either a U.S. Marshal or a U.S. Air Marshal, then what are you doing with your life? Because why would you not want to go through the next 20, 30 years of your life being called Marshall?
And then why else would you not obviously have a shirt that says Marshall on it? It's Marshall Mathers.
Come on. What are we
Come
doing?
Come on, guy. Because it's, I mean, what are we doing here? You got to maximize sometimes. You know what I mean? Maximize, mm-hmm. guys. If you're about to have a child right now, if you have, if you think it's going to be, let's say you love soccer, let's say you love volleyball, you just had a nice little, what are those parties? A gender reveal party. Boom. It's blue. Guess what? Right now you live in Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
Your wife went to Marshall. Name the kid Marshall, man.
That guy that had the bubble guts in front of me.
Yeah.
They actually, on his last trip to shit, it was a gender reveal.
It was a gender reveal bathroom. Party.
Just poof, he blew just fucking pink everywhere out of his asshole.
That's why everybody was clapping in the front.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, congratulations. I mean, still doesn't smell any better, but you're having a daughter. Awesome.
Can you take a couple of two-way radios on a flight if like you're on the front and somebody you know is on the back and just start radioing back? Hold on. 2B to 34A over. Like, can you do that?
34A, go ahead.
That's what, 34A, what's going on back there? There's a lot of noise, a lot of chatter going on over up here. We're up here in the front, up here in 1B. We're trying to figure it out. Over.
Yeah, 1B, be advised. We have a subject with bubble guts in front. It's return trips to the restroom. There's a severe odor emanating from the rear of the plane. Possible taste situation.
Let's go, Brandon. Over. I wonder if you could do that for real though. I wonder if you could do that.
I don't know. Why not? Why
Can
not?
I just have some two-way radios, just start talking to the homie in the back?
They wouldn't know, like you put in the little earpieces.
Oh, good point, bro.
You know what I mean?
Can you put an earpiece in with the little, you know, the little coil wire? A coil wire though, or is that gonna be sus? Like, are they gonna be like, what are you doing, man? Are you trying to pretend like you're an air marshal? Like, no, this is all I had. My dad's an air marshal, and he has a pocket. He has a drawer full of these coil one ear pieces that go into a two-way radio, ma'am. Mm. And this is all I had. My buddy's in the back. I lost my ear pods. My buddy's in the back. I wanted to talk to him without having to go stand back there because the guy has bubble guts and he's 400 pounds back there.
Mm. Do you think air marshals carry, what kind of intermediary weapons do you think they carry? Like non-lethal force type weapons. Surely they carry a taser, I would think.
They got to have a tase.
Do they have, like, I want them to have, like, the beanbag gun, too? That shoots the bing, like they have in prisons and shit?
Yeah. Poof,
just to be able to, you know, I'll just hit somebody in the forehead, knock them out. Poof, it's a knockout gun. Nunchucks. I would want nunchucks. I feel like you can fight pretty well close quarters with nunchucks if you really practice.
One of those bow staffs where you hit the button and they pop out each way.
Oh, there you go.
And then suddenly it's like a 5 foot bow staff. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that way you have the ability to also step back and catch them from a distance. And I'll tell you, you ever been poked in the fucking body with a stick like that? It's not nice. It's not nice. Catch your rib or that little piece right below your rib cage where it's all like weird, like where Iron Man shit goes.
Yeah. You don't think a bow staff hurts getting poked straight on with it?
Oh.
Why don't you try to battle a Shaolin monk? I see how it feels then.
Yeah, why don't you take it on the first flight to Tokyo and head out of town when you get there?
Come on.
And if someone has one of those and they instantly go into the twirl around side to side and then go into the arm for the pause,
mm-hmm.
with a perfectly well balanced, you know, shoulder length apart stance at that ready.
Oh yeah.
You might want to go ahead and just walk that off.
Yeah.
Like, you know what, man? You were right. No matter how wrong the guy is, if he busts a bow, if he has the little 1 foot bar that he hits a button and it becomes a fucking 5 foot bow staff, and then he does the double spin around the body and he lands it under the arm into that perfect bottle stance, like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
What do you, come on? Then go ahead and walk that off.
And what if I had like a cattle prod kind of thing going on?
Fully heated?
So the end is electrified. So just move people with it. You can move a terrace with it. Terrace pops up, bomb vest, you know, and it's like right on the neck, boom, guy's like out.
That's what they use in casino to take down one of the cheaters.
Mm-hmm.
We got a birthday over at table 64. And then the security comes over. He pulls that little rod out. And he fucking shocks the kid. And he goes, he's having cardiac arrest. It's a heart attack. Come on, let's get him out of here. And then they fucking roll him out of the casino like he's had a heart attack. And that's when they just start smashing fingers.
Yeah. I don't know how you could conceivably get any kind of weapon on a plane anymore. I mean, like every time we travel with cornhole bags, boom, they take your bag. They pull all your bags out. They do the drug wipe on them. They run them through a separate machine. And the same thing, like when I last time when I went to Phoenix, I brought snacks. I had a bag of like leftover Halloween candy and granola bars in my backpack. I also one in my carry on. Phew, boy, that was a whole 1 hour operation. Got to stop,
come on, guy.
Pull the bags out, open the Ziploc baggies that all the candy's in. Got to do a little interior wipe of the bag, run it through the little machine, make sure I don't have actually heroin in my M&Ms. Instead of just M&Ms.
Yeah.
So how in the hell would you get any kind of weapon on there?
Well, they don't even have to go through security if you're an air marshal.
Well, I mean, I'm not talking about air marshal. I'm talking about somebody that means us harm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, obviously an air marshal can bring his bazooka if he wants.
Yeah.
But
I don't know how they can get it. Yeah, they're not. I do want to touch on the beanbag gun. How big are the bags?
I think they're like half the size, maybe a third of the size of a cornhole bag.
So if we, let's say we put a cornhole board, I don't know, 150 feet out, like what kind of distance are we looking at? So can we actually play, can we combine cornhole in the beanbag gun?
Oh, that would be cool.
Maybe like with a decommissioned bean gun.
I bet you could probably shoot it 40, 50 yards easily, effectively.
Yeah. So, you know, we might have to actually get like a range finder. You know what I mean? Like this could be a version of cornhole golf.
Love
but
this.
But you get the element of the rifle.
Yeah.
You're going distance. It's still going to be tough to get a nice fucking layup, a nice block, you know, come over a block.
Oh, it's going to be, yeah.
Airmail's got to be fucking like a hole in one at this point, right?
You're going to have to get your windage down. Exactly.
You're
going to need like a 50-yard court. You have to get plenty of arch.
Yeah, that's a good noise.
And then boom, boom. And maybe we make the hole smaller because the bag's a little smaller.
Well, I mean, that's a pretty good distance.
It's a hell of a shot to get it into even the bigger hole.
Yeah.
And to get it to stick on the board.
Ooh, well, that's tough. Why you're going to want to go with somebody who has a nice double-sided bag. Well, you know, you might have to go double sticky on this.
Yeah, you may not want the smooth side at all.
Yeah, we might not want to get any kind of fast bags here. We are offering this idea up to any bag companies right now. If you guys want to team up with us and start working with some decommissioned beanbag guns that air marshals use to take down people who fight when they grab each other's seat too long over. A lot more people are fighting on planes these days, by the way.
Yeah. Well, I don't blame them.
Unless we're just now seeing it more because of phones. I don't know if it's more glorified now, but I would like to see internal numbers.
I think there's just a lot. It sucks to fly now because the airlines are all fucked up. And then, you know, some people aren't happy about having to wear a mask all that time. So there's just a lot of like hot buttons for people now when they're traveling. So I think they are happening more. People are getting pissed off at their whole situation. One wrong thing happens. Somebody puts their hand over your screen right if they come out and taking a piss or a shit and they shut your movie off and fucking contaminate with poopy fingers your screen.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know, I probably should have knocked out like four or five people.
At least give them a good shoving.
Mm-hmm.
Make them decide what they want to do. Put them to the, you know, put their feet to the flames. You know what I mean? Like, all right, I'm going to call you bluff. How about a little one of these? Huh? You know, those weigh in fucking put those style pushes that people hit at the weigh in, like the way Usman hit just Covington and weigh in. You know boom. What I mean?
Double hand palm strike. Boom.
Poof.
Take you right off your feet.
Yeah, bro. Where you even go backwards?
I did shoo one guy's hand off because he was moving and he put his hand across my screen over the top of the headrest and he was just sitting there for a second. Like looking, whoa, where's my seat? I'm disoriented right now. So I put my hand underneath his, right about his wrist, and I just flicked my fingers up. Like, get the fuck off my phone, dude.
Nice shooing.
He was like, oh, I'm sorry. It's like, yeah, you're sorry. keep stepping. Yeah.
You're sorry. If you're sorry, I'm sorry too, buddy. I'm sorry we're on this plane right now, and the FAA might get involved if I have to take care of the business myself here, take matters into my own hands.
Yeah, I'm not trying to get pink eye from you leaving fucking fecal matter on my screen and then me fucking trying to text and then rubbing my eye. Now I got pink eye, motherfucker.
Yay, Todd, you didn't fly the red eye. You fly the pink eye.
I'll be here all weekend. Alrighty.
Also, people who take matters into their own hands. What a set of people, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's a real group right there. We'll take matters into our own hands. Uh-oh.
Mm.
They have made a decision, people who will take matters into their own hands, Todd.
Oh, yeah, they have.
This is a group that has had enough.
Vigilantes.
They have given the other party a... in their own minds, a long enough period of time to handle such said matters.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? Matters were not handled. So guess what? I'll be taking matters into my own hands, friend.
I'm not going to bring in a mediator. I'm not going to call the police. I'm not going to ask for help. I'm just going to take matters in my own hands, fix the situation.
Nothing nice ever, like, no, that's never used in a friendly or in a nice demeanor, you know, nice never. Way at all. So never like, oh, that's okay, Kim. I'll take matters into my own hands. Like, no. It's never nice. Listen, Julia, I'll take matters into my own. Like, it's never nice. It's always going to be, uh-oh, this is not good.
Yeah. He's taking matters. Shit's going to hit the fan here.
What happened? What's going on? He's taking matters into his own hands.
As he's loading his clip, one bullet at a time.
I'll take matters into my own hands. Oh, shit.
Watch out.
That means you have been relieved of your duty, sir. Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir. Good day, sir. I always think about
somebody should have to swear you in. Like, you're like, I'm about to take matters in my own hands. Okay. Let me swear you in real quick.
Swear matters in. You got to swear on the matters book.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to be taking matters into your own hands, then you got to swear on the matters book.
The book of matters.
The book of matters.
This left hand matters. There, right hand up, take an oath.
That matters. The word matters is wild. Is it from, what does matter? Like, what's a mat?
Like the definition?
The of definition matter. Of, because matter is also metaphysical, right?
Yeah, matter is also like material or whatever, right? Like space matter. Let's look up the complete definition.
Like matter. See, I've said the word matter so long that I can't even understand it anymore. Like what it actually, like it means something different to me now than it meant 10 minutes ago, the word matters.
Well, in classical physics, Sean, and general chemistry for that matter, no pun intended, matter is any substance that has mass and takes up space by having volume. So anything that basically physically exists and occupies space in our world is matter. Like I said, fecal matter, poop is matter, fecal matter.
Certain type of matter.
I tend to use matter for things that exist and occupy space but are tiny. Maybe you can't even see it. As in fecal matter. It's like just leftover poop, that poop cells that poop you can see. Yeah.
So we're saying that it's a physical substance in general as distinct from mind and spirit, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
That which occupies space and possesses real mass, especially as distinct from energy. Wow, that's deep. Also an affair or situation under consideration, a topic. I'll take this topic into my own hands. Listen. I'll handle the affairs from here. See, even though it's an affair, like to me, it's like, I'll handle the affairs. I'm handling the affairs.
And then there's the way, you know, like it doesn't matter. So then there's a third definition in there. I love words that have multiple definitions, by the way.
So we're saying that, yeah, because now if it doesn't matter, that means it doesn't exist, right? Is that what we're
right.
Is that what we're actually saying?
I think that's what we're saying. It doesn't matter. So basically mean like, it's of no consequence. It doesn't exist. It doesn't occupy space in my world.
It has no physical substance in general as distinct from mind and spirit is what you're saying.
Yes, exactly.
That's wow. What I'm saying. I mean, we got law. We got print. We got logic. It's a particular content of a proposition as distinct from its form, Todd. I'll tell you what. That's one hell of a word. People just really aren't They're not giving it the situation. It's not, they're not giving it the attention it does. It, you know, it deserves. Like, this word matters. You know what I mean?
It does matter.
Matter matters, dude.
Mm-hmm. We couldn't have had Black Lives Matter without matters.
Nope. We couldn't have anything matters.
That
without
was an
matter.
Important matter. It's still an important matter. Nothing matters if
there's
don't
no matter.
Have that word.
If you don't have matter, then matter then doesn't matters. Matter. You know what I mean? Mm-mm. That's what people aren't understanding. I've been preaching this.
You have been preaching it. And when every time we explore this, I just keep getting madder and madder about it.
You
about
get
matter.
Madder than I've ever seen you get.
Dude, this is, I mean, I get madder and madder over matter every day.
I'll tell you what. Day. I've never been madder about matter, and that matters because mm-hmm. my feelings matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, a lot of times as a man, you, feelings don't matter to you as you walk the earth by yourself. And then you're in a relationship and you realize that feelings matter.
Hey, feelings matter. Dirty dishes matter. All
crumbs,
of a sudden when you're in a relationship. Candy
crumbs
wrappers.
Matter. Crumbs matter. All so crumbs much. Matter at this house, bro.
Bro.
Let me tell you something about crumbs in my house. They matter.
Let me tell you something about dishes laying out. Like, if I drink a cup of coffee, I can't just like rinse it out real quick and just leave it there.
Oh, no.
It could, like, as if I might use it later. No, mm-hmm. no. You fucking idiot. You put it in the dishwasher and then you get a different coffee cup if you want a cup later. If you're going to keep drinking two consecutive cups, reuse the cup. Otherwise, nothing sets out. Nothing can set out. Mel can't set out.
No.
Nothing. Not everything has to be put away all of a sudden when you get in a relationship.
Time matters in relationships.
It does.
See, for instance, in your coffee cup situation you're speaking about, what matters here the most is the time in between both cups of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So if I space out the second cup, if it's not consecutive, it has, obviously there is a time frame, obviously, and it's a gray area of what's can be considered consecutive or not.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely not if consecutive, if you put the cup down and walk away from it.
Absolutely.
Now that cup, that time that it sat out as matter in the physical manner
mm-hmm.
matters because that has to go into the dishwasher.
Let me ask you
after
this.
A certain amount of time, that matters.
Have you ever had a fight over this? Has this ever become a thing in your relationship? Because I noticed there's two types of people in this room. And one person, when they open the can of Pringles, tears the paper thing that's underneath the plastic lid completely off.
Oh, yeah.
Eats them and then puts the plastic thing back on.
Oh, the seal.
The other type of person peels off the plastic lid, tears the paper thing that's underneath that 3/4 of the way back, leaves just enough like a hinge on there, and then puts that back over the top before they put the plastic lid back on to ensure like an extra level of freshness or protection against going stale.
Oh,
which person are you in that relationship?
I am ripping the top off completely, and I'll probably find it later on the floor somewhere.
You know what? Because you're a human being. You're a human being.
Tennis. That's what they do. They are giving us that top quality plastic lid that no chip gives you.
Mm-hmm.
They're giving us a physical lid as the Pringles Corporation. Okay. And guess what? I don't need all your other chips don't have nothing. They don't have the little Yeti style fucking, you know, silver piece of paper. Cause now what, bro, what if it's at the end of the barrel and I got to lift it up to start pouring it into my fat face?
Yeah. I don't need that little flap there at the top.
With the fucking mud flap.
It's gonna be in the way.
Take your Pringles mud flap and fuck off.
If you leave that little flap on there, after opening them, you're a crazy person. You are a fucking problem. You are going to be you're a very argumentative person. First of all, I can already tell if you leave that on there. And you're a person who also doesn't consume Pringles appropriately. Because if you're going to leave Pringles in that can once opened for that long uh-huh. of a period of time that you're going to worry about, oh, they might go stale with just the space age foil lined tennis ball can that they're uh-huh. already in. And then the plastic lid, if that's not enough protection for you, then you worry too much.
Yeah, man.
To a level that you're going to bother me as a person.
This is what else I think about Pringles.
Pringles initial intention was, I think Pringles' initial intention was to make tennis balls. rubber was supposed to show up, a big truckload of potatoes arrived. And Pringles is a laid-back company. They said, fuck it, cut them out.
Oh, how good of a fucking joke is that, bro?
That's great. That's great.
Pringles is a laid-back company. They said, fuck it, cut them up.
You ever put, you ever take a can of tennis balls and you put one single tennis ball in there, you put the lid back on, but you pour a little lighter fluid at the bottom of the can first, drop the tennis ball in there and you heat it up underneath, makes a cannon, shoots a fucking ball like a crazy distance.
And this comes to you live from the hillbilly corner of Todd McComas, the hillbilly corner of Todd's mind.
That is, you put lighter fluid. How much lighter fluid do you put in the Pringles can around? Do you put it, like, just pour it, just the ball on the bottom of the can, and you just pour the lighter fluid in over the ball and all?
No, you pour the lighter fluid in first, if I remember right, and then you drop the ball in there, and then you just heat it with a lighter underneath there until the gas builds up, and then it just launches this fucking tennis ball.
Are you keeping the lid on the tennis can?
Yeah, because you need it on there to trap the pressure to build? Yeah. And I think I want to say that's the same premise used for the potato cannon. Mm. You ever had
someone
build a potato cannon? I'm wanting to say it's just simply lighter fluid. Now, feel free to correct me, people. Hashtag potato cannon on social media. But I think it's been a long time. I haven't been a kid in a long time, but I think that's how we did it.
I got a question here with the potato cannon.
Mm-hmm.
If we put a grade, you know how they have those things like in restaurants when they have these chop, like you ever been to In-N-Out and they got the potato chopper on the wall, right? So there's just this guy with like one buff ass right arm.
Mm-hmm.
He is grabbing potatoes, putting them in, ka-tunk, ka-tunk. He's bringing down the little and he's just getting buckets of fries, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you take that same metal that he's pushing the potato down into,
right,
that grid of metal that shreds them into potatoes, into fries.
Yes, sir.
If I take that, but I enlarge that grid of metal,
mm-hmm,
okay, and I put it on a post, two posts, let's say field goal style. Okay. I got a huge grade, that same stuff that they're shooting the potatoes down in to make the fries. But let's say it's like a 10 by 10 grade of that metal.
Wow.
Okay, right. Now on the other side, I have a bag connected all the way around the 10 by 10. Okay. And now me and a bunch of my buddies have potato guns, and we just start unloading potatoes at that grid. And now we end up with a humongous bag of potato gun fries that have ran through the metal fencing, if you will. And now we bag those up, and in our restaurant, we have them, and we call them potato gun fries. And people love go, it. Why do you call them that? And I go, well, because me and my buddies smoke weed, and then we shoot potatoes with our potato guns 100 yards into a fry grater, and then we catch them, and then we cook them from there. So these actually might have a little bit more of a smooth flavor because of the aerodynamics of the potato being launched and flown through 100 yards of air and matter.
And you're welcome. Potato gun fries, great idea. Nobody has those yet. I don't know why nobody's thought of that yet.
Potato gun fries.
Write that down when you open your restaurant. It's going to be your number one appetizer.
I'm going to have to do a video on that too. That might be good.
Mm-hmm.
I need some. If anybody has a potato gun or six, you know, actually, you'll need a few. We'll need a couple potato guns so we could get, you know, a couple of those and go ham at it.
Oh, yeah.
I could make the fucking grid. I could make a metal slicer thing that once the potato gets shot through it and we catch it.
Of course you can.
You know?
Just weld that shit together.
And then we could have, obviously, from that, it's just the sky's the limit. Now we're going to have, you know, chili cheese potato gun fries. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Chili potato gun fries, cheese potato gun fries, loaded potato gun fries,
sweet potato gun fries.
I mean, we're talking next level here, man.
Sweet potatoes probably go through even better.
I know. Listen, how about softer, this, bro? Right? How about this? I'm thinking now. Now we're going to do this. We're going to put a big, very, very clean plastic like mat down, right? Like a big bucket.
Mm-hmm.
Now, over this humongous bucket, I'm going to put a big wall. And then we're going to shoot the potato gun into the wall so that they explode there and then they drop down. And now we have potato gun mashed potato gun fries. No, wait. Potato mashed. Wait. Potato mashed. Potato gun mashed potato.
Mashed
mashed potato gun fries. Is that there it? Is that how we would say it?
Sure. Why not?
No, not fries though. Mashed.
Yeah, you want mashed potatoes.
Potato gun fries. No, mashed potatoes. Mashed gun potatoes.
There you go. Mashed gun potatoes.
Yeah, because if with the gun after, that means the gun's mashed, not the potatoes.
I used to. So my mom was a big mashed potato person, and I loved baseball. You know, lived on a farm by myself, so I'd have to train by myself, and I didn't have any friends that live close enough usually.
Yeah.
So my mom used to do this thing. You know, we had a little net, so I could play. You know, I could do soft toss. You know, soft toss. You just sit there into my throat, tosses the ball in front of you, underhand, close up, and you just launch into the net, right, or the fence, whatever. So my mom used to do that with potatoes, and I would just
good idea.
Yeah, I would whack, and then you know she had a bunch of busted up potatoes. She's halfway on her way to mashed potatoes. Just leaves a pile there. Time we're done, a whole set.
Yeah,
whack. Work on my swing and help make dinner.
That's I mean, you can't hate on that.
Mm-mm.
But I think we're on to something. So this is going to be the loaded potato gun restaurant.
There you go. Everything.
And I mean, and it sounds, see the double entendre there is that it sounds like I'm loaded potato, like it's loaded, like the potato's loaded, like with butter, sour cream, chives, and all that bacon bits. But
it's really just
not.
The gun is loaded.
Yeah, that's a potato gun that's loaded up with potatoes.
Mm. What if the air marshals, I like that better than the beanbag. What if the air marshals had a potato gun, just a little, you know, inside their like suit jacket, and they just popped it out like, and they just launched potatoes at dudes' heads while they were trying to hijack the plane.
And then when the guy's kind of coming around in consciousness, he just steps over him and just like throws two packs of ketchup on him. It's like, eat him up, bitch.
There you go.
Dinner served, ho.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
If you're in France, you just pour some gravy and some cheese curds on top of it. Poutine.
Or Canada. Or
maybe that's Louisiana.
It's Canada.
Canada. There we go.
But it's definitely migrated into the fucking East Coast. And if you're on the West Coast, I definitely, definitely urge you guys to bring the poutine movement to the West Coast. What we don't understand on the West Coast, we're basically a one level fry of dipping, and that's ketchup.
Yeah, they just haven't caught on to the whole potato game over there yet.
Yeah, you know what? They've just decided that this is how
they're getting rid of
is.
Carbs. Carbs are almost illegal there.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what. The only the people that show it on TV, on social media, are the ones not eating them. Everybody else, smashing them.
Mm.
Wait till you see the fry guy over at the In-N-Out Burger putting in work. The kid got, he had to switch off arms or he's going to be lopsided.
Right.
But I'm saying, what was I saying?
About they're just behind the times with fries.
Listen, California.
They don't elevate their fry game at all over there in the West Coast. Because, like I said, it's not, if you eat fries over there, you know, you're looked down upon. You're a piece of shit if you eat carbs there, for the most part, in California.
Well,
so they're not going to elevate the game to like, okay, that's not starchy enough for me.
Yeah.
I need cheese curds on top of there. I need some gravy.
Well, I will say this. Obviously, you know, we don't experiment with such a hearty level of appetizer because we're not usually that cold.
Mm-hmm.
Our levels of hearty on the West Coast, we have a lower level of heartiness because it's a little warmer outside. So obviously no one's sitting around eating a hearty meatloaf and fucking mashed potatoes on a nice, you know, on a nice June afternoon. You know what I mean?
Right. Plus you don't tend to eat heavier things there because you're rollerblading to the restaurant.
Yeah. It's
so
windy.
Everybody
rollerblades
everywhere they go, so you don't want to like really weight yourself down.
A lot of unicycles, you know what I mean? Bicycles, but I mean like two seats bicycle, tandem bicycle. Mm-hmm. So I will say this though, guys, try it out, man. Get some gravy. If you're at a restaurant and then you know they have a good gravy, let them know. Hey, let me get a side of gravy, kid. When I go to Popeyes, you know what I do, Todd?
What?
I get a side of gravy. I order the number 8. Let me get the 5-piece strips. You know what? Lately I've been getting the Cajun fries. And you know what I tell them? Let me get a side of gravy.
Oh, right.
And guess
top.
What I do? I dip my chicken and I dip my fries in that gravy. And I have a big fat smile on my face. Even if some of the gravy drips off the fry onto somewhere on my console while it's on the way to my fat face.
Why did it take like Canada to come up with that? Like, I get it, it's very cold,
it's
there
cold.
So you need hard, but like just that outside the box thinking that exists there, where, you know, for a long time people were like, Do I want fries or do I want cheese curds? You know, it's a tough decision to make. Have both. Let me put the cheese curds on top of your fries. Put that in the oven for a minute together. Drop it into the fryer independently. Put it up there. And then put another level of cheese on there just to melt it down a little bit. And then gravy. Now we're talking. Like, now, God bless Canada. I didn't even know why we needed Canada, really. And then I forgot. I'm like, oh, well, but we wouldn't have poutine.
Yeah, we needed Canada for obviously for poutine, obviously for Justin Bieber.
Hockey players. I mean, the hockey, NHL obviously. Would kind of suck without, yeah.
Yeah, obviously some sweet accents. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. A real raw toughness covered in niceness also. I would like to say that.
Yeah.
Never seen anybody be so gentle, but also knock someone's teeth out and not have teeth themselves and then still just politely
open their heart. People. I mean, it's a country full of good-hearted people.
It sure is. They leave their doors unlocked in most neighborhoods there. Mm-hmm. I think inside of inner city Toronto, outside of that.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go with a Mexican-style poutine.
Oh, there you go.
I'm going to spice up the fucking poutine. Ooh. I'm going to spice up the gravy. Mm. I'm going to, you know, obviously I'm going to fry. I'm going to fry onion and jalapeno at the bottom of the pan, and then I'll put my gravy mix in.
Oh, wow. You can also do jalapeno like cheese curd if you wanted. You could chop up jalapeno, put it in, mix it in with the cheese before you fry it in the batter.
Maybe do a pepper jack cheese curd.
Now we're talking. There we go.
Pepper jack cheese curd. I never really wrote down the word curd before either. I just occurred to me that that's the first time I've ever written the word curd.
Little Miss Muffet sat on her tuffet, eating her curds and whey. So she was freaking, she was just really like laying into some cheese curds.
Just smashing cheese there. Out solo on her little fucking tuffet.
Man.
Just like smashing it. Cheese
this
curds.
This is a confident chick. Just sitting underneath a tree.
That's why the spider got so close. She had her fucking guard down.
He's like, what's going on here? Little Miss Muffet sitting there eating these cheese, just stuffing your face hole full of cheese curds. Good for you.
It's going bananas over here on the curds, lady.
I bet your blood tastes nice and greasy. He was going to suck in there and take a little out.
And now what did the spider do when he got down there again? I forgot.
He didn't her curds and way. Along came beside her. Along came a spider who sat down beside her. And scared Miss Muffet away. So he scared her away, had all the cheese curds in the way to himself. What is way?
And the guy sits in the corner all day, and he's looking down at this chick just smashing curds on the reg. And I mean, at this point, is it even theft? No, she's not going to miss them. She eats so many of them.
She abandoned them. All right, so way is W-H-E-Y. Way is like wheat, like whey is like a protein powder, right?
I thought she was eating her curds away, like she was smashing them.
Oh, you know what curds and whey is?
No.
It's basically cottage cheese. She was sitting down eating a bowl of cottage cheese.
Just smell. Did you even have peaches in it, the slut?
She's never been laid. Ever. Ever. Just sitting around village. Eating bowls of cottage cheese under a tree by herself. She's getting no action, dude.
I'll say this. If you're not going to at least throw some cheese. I mean, I can't just go raw. I just can't raw dog cottage cheese. I got to put pepper on it or I got to put peaches in it, bro. It's one of them. It's a fine line. My grandma growing up, we ate dinner 7 days a week at home. You had to be home 5:30. I live with my grandma, me and my mom, my brother, was real little for quite a while. Right. Mm-hmm. Dinner was there. It was on. My mom was the same way. But my grandma's house, every single dinner. There was cottage cheese on the table. There was a jar full of so with scallions in it.
Ooh, scallions in the cottage cheese?
Well, no. You just, in case you wanted to just pop an onion and just start rocking one of these onions.
Gotcha.
There was always applesauce on the table. Mm. Those three things were almost there every single, no matter what, like in the middle of my grandma's meals, there was just other stuff that you can just go at.
Now, I have seen people pour applesauce into their cottage cheese.
I can see
and
that.
Mix it together and eat it.
Yeah, I can see that.
I assume it's tasty. I don't know. I like cottage cheese myself. I'm not going to sit out by myself under a tree and eat it like I'm an idiot, like I'm an animal. But I don't wonder why. So basically, they just changed the song because it was more poetic to say curds and whey instead of cottage cheese.
I just figured it out, by the way, though. I didn't know it was curds and whey. I thought I was eating her curds away.
Eating her cottage cheese. Along came a spider, sat down by spider, and dropped Miss Muffet to her knees. They could have still could have rhymed it out.
Then he said he came down with a big fat smack on her big fat cheek, and she begged, please. You know what I mean? bars.
Bars. We should write nursery rhymes.
I know. We really, really broke down some things today. You guys, I'm not sure this podcast was ready for this level of breakdown today.
I mean, so much education involved in listening to the Guns Blazing podcast.
This is almost a think tank at this point. We might have to declassify this entire operation and call it a think tank, because this isn't a podcast. This is a think tank, man.
That's all it is. There's not a chance one listener of this podcast knew what in the fuck curds and whey is before this episode.
And I'll say this. I guarantee at least one motherfucker also thought it was saying eating her curds away.
I guarantee it.
Because I never looked at
the lyrics.
Who pulled up the lyrics of this? You did, but I mean,
out of my brain pan. I can't believe I remembered the whole thing.
Yeah, you really just really dug deep there, pal.
Mm.
You really dug deep for that one, man.
Is it?
And I know someone else thinks it, and they might not want to admit it, and I'll be okay. I'll admit it, you know?
Mm.
I'll admit it right here, right now.
That's what we do. We educate. Now you know what curds are. Next time you're at a restaurant and you're ordering a side and you're going to order a cottage cheese, use it. I'll take the curds and whey.
Yes.
Yeah. She'll be like, you what? Curds and whey. It's cottage cheese. What are we talking about? At our restaurant,
curds and whey.
On the menu, it's not going to be called cottage cheese. It's going to be called curds and whey.
You know what? And we could fully do a fucking poutine with the potato gun fries in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about right there.
Be easy.
It'll be easy. And guess what? While their meal's being ready, they're outside in the patio shooting cornhole bags from a beanbag gun.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? Score's 19-12. Let's hold off. I don't want to finish. We just got our foods ready.
Get one in the hole. You get a free bowl of curds and whey.
Yeah.
With every meal.
I'm going to ask that next time I go to a restaurant. Do you guys have curds and whey here? I don't know. Sometimes you just have it in the back. I know some of the menu, but sometimes the chefs can just put it together for me. No. I'm a big curds and whey guy. I still don't know what the fuck the whey is. What is that?
I know there's whey protein, which is a powder. So it's got to be some kind of whey fiber thing. So I wonder if you look at the ingredients of cottage cheese.
Yeah, there it is.
Sign.
Curds and whey.
If whey is listed as an ingredient in there. I wonder if that's what helps make it curdle.
Oh, because it curdles, curds and whey, bro. Listen, I'm just a guy in the streets, man.
Mm-hmm.
Curds and whey, bro. And you were right, because it's Estee Whey, like Whey.
Whey.
Just like the shit you said from Gin's, whatever. What's the store? Fucking everybody goes to GNC.
GNC.
All right. 2 cups of milk, 4 teaspoons of vinegar. All right. This is the ingredients. And you can use 4 teaspoons of lemon juice. Also, or a nice alternative orange juice, which will make a slightly sweeter curd for using in homemade cheesecakes. If the curds don't seem to be forming, add an extra teaspoon or two of your chosen citrus juice. That's what you do. Then you just put the cups in milk. Yeah, this chick was just broke as shit. That's what happened.
Dude, we can make our own cottage cheese. I didn't know you can make your own cottage cheese.
Curds and whey right here. Place 2 cups of milk in a saucepan. Bring it to a boil while stirring constantly. And it's very important to constantly stir the milk or it will burn.
Oh, yeah.
Turn off the heat once the milk is boiling. Leave the saucepan on the heat sauce to cool up. Drop in your vinegar or your citrus fruit juice or to the boiling milk. And then start scooping out turds, bro. Store them separately.
Milk burns very easily when exposed to heat. That's why pregnant women aren't supposed to lay out in the sun.
Yeah. Well, fuck up the milk.
Mm-hmm. Some burnt-ass milk. The baby's like, this fucking milk's burnt. What the fuck? Did you lay out yesterday?
How awesome would it be if women can eat certain things when they're breastfeeding and then make the milk taste like if she just eats a Hershey's bar home and gets some chocolate milk? You know what I mean?
That's because it's the same way with with sperm. They say, you know, the what you eat affects the taste of your sperm. Like, you know, some girls are always like, oh, you need to add more pineapple to your diet because I like the taste of that. Like, isn't that crazy that happens? Like, who's doing the taste testing? How do we know? Like, is there some kind of place that's hiring someone to taste the semen? Like, is there a study going on? Like, all right, we're going to have this study group eat nothing but pineapple. This study group's going to eat nothing but asparagus. And then somebody's going to taste.
French onion soup.
Yeah.
And French onion soup.
French onion soup.
I think that this is just organic research by whores, I'm thinking. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
just people that are used to having semen in their mouth.
Yeah, they just judgment. Become.
Thank just God for them, or we like wouldn't know.
Like a sommelier of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
Yeah.
Can understand the fine intricacies of the male reproductive juice.
Yeah, this semen has a very, very delicate bouquet.
Oh, wow. Very nutty. Hey, I got Virginia Beach Funny Bone, bro. Virginia Beach Funny Bone, Thursday, December 2nd.
Be there. I'll be at Crawfordsville, Indiana this Saturday. Let's if you go, live bro. Anywhere near there, raise some money for some animals. Check out GunsBlazingPodcast.com. The calendar's on there for both of us. And then make sure you go to YouTube and subscribe. Love you guys. Love you, Sean.
Love you, buddy.